And welcome to our show, Geeks Are Wired Podcast, where we're talking about video games, movies, TVs, comic book, technology, and TLDR, the Internet of Things. And this week, we have Alex.
Hello!
And Jordan.
Sometimes called Jorkan, I guess.
Not, nope.
Never. Never.
Nope, Jorkant.
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 Jorkant. Okay.
But Jokan.
Hey, I'm back.
Finally.
I went on sabbatical.
Actually, both of you did.
I went to 4 concerts. It was beautiful.
Yeah.
I did absolutely nothing.
You did homework.
Yeah. So it wasn't fun.
You did midterms.
Yes.
Mine was quite glorious, though, Jordan.
Yeah, there's nothing glorious about my state.
My musical sabbatical. It's good times.
It's still ongoing. I nearly skipped this session, too. I've had 3 hours sleep. It's not fun.
Well, us and the listeners appreciate it. The listeners who do not call, they appreciate it.
I'm going to be a desiccated husk. That may be redundant. I may be just desiccated.
Yeah.
I like that the listeners that do not call is actually a demographic of our podcast.
Exactly. Yes.
Actually, it's 100% of the listeners of our podcast.
That's so true. Far.
Yeah, it takes a lot of effort to call.
Or email.
Yeah.
But they want to call. They can call 801-896-4335 or email us at geeksarewired@gmail.com.
Yeah, really.
Call or not to call, that is the question.
Yes.
Their second demographic are the listeners that do call. You can be your own demographic. Yeah. Rock the boat.
You could ask questions. We can answer them. Or you can leave emails.
Yeah, so I'm not even going to say the concerts I went to. They have to call and ask. It'll be the mystery.
I am kind of... That is exciting in my mind. The hypothetical situation where there's the sudden call and the gentle thrill that kind of descends upon us as we're wondering... What could that be? And then it turns out to be someone.
Yeah. Well, let's look. You guys missed out at the con.
Actually, someone.
You could have met the listeners.
The listeners? Were they pretty dedicated?
They were awesome.
Yeah.
I met listeners at the con.
I like it shrouded in mystery, though. Like these baseless masses or people.
What if they were wearing masks?
Masks?
But if they were wearing masks, they're still faceless.
You didn't just pay Ted to wear a mask and say he should listen to it, right? Because I was out of town. Maybe that's my cover story.
You were wearing a mask.
Yeah.
Joe, what concerts did you go to?
I'm not saying. I'll say it after the podcast.
Oh, okay.
He wants the listeners to call.
Yeah.
And ask.
Well, they can't call right now.
No, they can call tomorrow.
I went to go see Taylor Swift 4 times.
I believe that.
Look what you made me do.
I followed her. I know, exactly. I said, look what you made me do, Taylor. I followed her around the country.
Legit. We have a title.
I know.
There you go. We have a title. Look what you made me do.
Yeah. I don't know why I kept following her. Every time she'd open with that song, I was like, oh, I hate this song.
But
and then
look what
I'd
you
go
made me
see
do.
Her again. And then I'd be like, oh, Taylor, now I'm in Denver. Look what you made me do. Like, now I'm in Kansas City. What's going on?
Look what you made me do.
Yeah. She put no effort into any of those shows. They're exact the same. She just sent out the dead Taylor. They propped her up in one of the shows. Just hung her there.
I don't believe that, Joe. She has to put in a lot of effort to her songs and everything. She has to get into a relationship, break up with that person, and then, for inspiration to strike. Actually,
I know. She's like, don't judge me for writing a song about my breakups. Anyways, cue the music, boys. Yeah. So that wasn't really my musical sabbatical because I would be dead right now if that's really what I was doing.
Aww.
That'd be all hope is lost.
Guess what?
I do a Facebook Live. I'd be like, look what you made me do, Taylor. And then
I don't mind Taylor Swift.
I don't mind some Taylor Swift, but that new song is pretty awful, Bill.
It's not that bad. See,
it's pretty awful.
I think I'm in the group that's like, it's not terrible.
I haven't heard her new song.
It's Look What You Made Me Do. That's literally
pretty terrible.
The words to the song.
Wow. What does she claim that someone made her do?
She killed herself.
Yikes.
Yeah.
Is that it?
Yeah, remember? No. So, she's like, Taylor can't come to the phone right now because she's dead.
Is this a prognostication?
I guess I haven't seen the... have you seen the video?
Yeah.
Oh, maybe I haven't paid attention to the video.
Yep.
Is she talking about someone she knows, or is this hypothetical Taylor Swift?
It's unfortunately hypothetical Taylor Swift.
Okay. Well, if it was real, then there wouldn't be a song.
Well, she could have recorded it before. That would have been the most artistic.
Or it could be like Tupac and all.
Yeah,
and Michael, and
he's
all
just
this,
a hologram.
She's inspired by 13 ways.
13 reasons.
Oh, 13 yeah. reasons
she
why.
She sends her tapes to everyone.
13 episodes
to John
of 13
Mayer.
Reasons.
Like, I'm sending you 13 songs.
No, really, all she did was just get curly hair. It's the new Taylor.
Yeah.
So why is she claiming that people are making hypothetical suicidal Taylor Swift?
I have no clue, and we're moving on.
This is the most interesting conversation about Taylor Swift I've ever had.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Which involves the death of Taylor Swift.
Oh, is that why?
I know.
By her own hand. She's not shaking it off anymore. She shook it off.
That's the irony. She's like, I just shook it off 4 years ago, and now I'm dead. She's like, Jay-Z, that's why you got to get the dirt off your shoulder. He's still doing good.
Yeah. It's just going to be, you know, music fun cast.
Yeah, that's what I do. I get the dirt off my shoulder.
Actually, that might be a better one.
It's more gangster that way.
Music pun cast.
Yeah. Joe, would you say Beck released some good stuff, though?
Yeah. Beck did a new album. It's really good.
Yeah.
And it's also poppy, so that's the thing, because everyone says, oh, you're just being a snob against pop music. Say, no, I'm a snob against bad pop music.
But doesn't that make him pop, then?
So who,
he is
Beck?
Pop? Yeah.
No, Beck, yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm not anti-pop.
Oh.
But I'm just anti-bad pop, just
okay.
Like any other bad. I'm like anti-bad metal and anti-bad rock. It's just any. If it's bad, it's bad, okay?
Okay.
Unless you're country, then it's just all bad.
What?
Yeah.
There's a Johnny Cash exception.
I like this bar.
Because I legitimately like Johnny Cash.
But there's no today.
Yeah, I feel Johnny Cash is overrated.
How is he overrated? He's the only good country singer ever.
He's not the only good country
he's
singer.
He's a good country singer.
Well, I like this bar.
This bar?
That's the name of the song.
Well, I don't listen to country music.
Or maybe
you don't listen
to any
music, Jordan.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
How about Life is a Highway?
Is it?
That's country.
Is it?
Yes.
Well, today's country is just pop, so I'll just put it into bad pop, and then you can leave room for the Johnny Cash and stuff.
It's a pool I seldom wade into, because I remember, like, I was wandering around one day, and then the sound of Toby Keith.
You stepped into the sound of Toby Keith, and
I
it was like,
oh! I think it was a Honky Tonk Badonk or something like that. And
see, no, that's happy country. No, I like happy music. The sad music, I'm not a fan of. Happy. That's why
I think that's
the country where you lose your dog and you lose your house and everything, that's sad country. I'm not a fan of. Happy country is fun. Music is fun.
Isn't country objectification happy country? Like, he's talking about someone's honky tonk badonk.
Badonk. I know.
I don't think he's talking
I can't let go by twice. It's badonkadonk. There's two.
Badonkadonk.
Honky tonk, badonky donk.
Alex knows.
I understand. Is that something he coined? Because that sounds like a 2-year-old's way of referring to someone.
No, he appropriated it for his purposes, or his songwriter did.
No, country music.
I'm not sure
music
who we can originally credit with the term badonkadonk, but it existed prior to Toby Keith.
Did they commit suicide?
Mariachi music. It's just meant to be played in the background at Texas Roadhouse. That's all country music is. You don't really listen to it. It's just like when I was listening.
Hey,
if that
stuff comes on the radio, I'm blasting my radio, and I'm just going to smile. And
it's not a bad song. I got to side with Bill on this one. It's not the worst. It's patently ridiculous, but I don't think it pretends to be anything but.
I'm morally opposed to Toby Keith after. I don't think I've listened to a wide selection, but that kind of ingrained itself into my mind. And there are occasions, not always, but nights when I wake up kind of a sweaty mess thinking about that song.
Thinking about the badonkadonk.
The badonkadonk.
Thinking about the badonkadonk. And yeah, there's just the general.
Is this
the
Badonka nightmare?
It is a Badonka nightmare. There's some flushing rage.
Is it waves of Daisy Dukes and cut off jeans shaking in your face? And you say, I just want that badonkadonk. And then the country Toby Keith says, sorry, Jordan, it's my badonkadonk.
Jordan just wants the badonkadonk.
I don't want Keith's badonkadonk waving in my face, no matter how
honky-tonk you don't want, it you don't is. Want Keith's Daisy Duke's badonkadonk in your face?
No, I don't want that. I don't want it in anyone's face. I think that's a very bad thing.
Bill, this is a good thing, too. To make it easy, everything's just written by Toby Keith, because that song might not be Toby Keith, but since it's a generic country song, it might as well be Toby Keith, yeah. So it's okay.
It's like so. You're listening to country. Who wrote this? Probably Toby Keith.
Yeah.
He writes all of them.
Because every country, you just need a generic American name. You're like, Jake Adams, that might be a country singer. Yeah. I don't know.
You sing about your Silverado, your honky-tonk badonkadonk.
There's probably a Toby Thompson out there who's singing, who might have also wrote badonkadonk.
Yeah.
It's a 60s song. It's a classic rock. Yeah. Turned into a country.
Yeah, exactly.
Got your Jimmy Jackson.
Why not? Well, here, we'll move on to news.
To stuff. News.
Alex's news stuff.
Oh, hell yeah. This is actual gaming news. First, the worldwide exclusive on Geeks Are Wired. The Portland Retro Gaming Expo is going to hold host to a little game called Robo V Dino that I've been developing over about the past, about 6 months or so. I'm going to do my first public demo of the new gameplay mechanics that I integrated into it since the last version of Robo V Dino. And also, by the time this airs, there should be a teaser trailer that I'm going to ask Bill to put in the notes and be the first news outlet to report on it.
It's very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I've had a preview of it, and I approve.
The best part about the trailer is it doesn't show all the bugs in it.
It's true. Yeah. No, that is exciting. I feel that you should make a director's cut of all the excise footage because it was beautiful stuff.
I know. It was fun.
Oh, yeah. I'm going to make more. I'm going to make many more trailers. I just wanted to keep this one short because there's about six levels to show off right now. So I felt a trailer over, like, I don't know, about 45 seconds would have been gratuitous. So I'm going to save up some of the other great footage. By the way, for the listener's benefit, there is some excellent live-action footage in this video game trailer. I know that seems silly, but you can see Joe and Jordan's acting career debut in this first trailer. So it's a double worldwide exclusive. You can watch it, you can not call us, and but think really hard about how you feel about it.
And you can... it's actual game footage. It's not, just high-end CGI. It's actual game footage.
Oh yeah, definitely. There's a actual like gameplay footage in the middle of it.
I know, Alex. I also played it. I suck at it, but it was fun.
I made it to the last level.
Did you beat the last
nice.
Level?
I almost beat the last level.
Yeah, was it of the latest build?
No, actually, I do have to go back to the latest build.
Yeah, the latest build. Well, yeah.
Because since you were here last time, it's been a few. Were you here last week?
Yeah.
Yes. So you do know about some of the stuff that. The other stuff
of yeah, this. But you have to understand that I have the mind of an amnesiac man.
Like, goldfish. Goldfish.
I'm basically
goldfish.
Guy Pierce. Yeah, yeah, goldfish. Yeah.
Jordan the goldfish.
Jordan already forgot we were talking about Taylor Swift.
Look what you made him
Taylor
do.
Swift. Was it an interesting conversation?
This is pretty interesting.
We found out your love for Taylor Swift and her songs.
Well,
your secret love for Taylor Swift and her songs.
It would have to be very secret.
Well, it was. It's not anymore.
Well, from myself, yeah. She has a good singing voice. I wish you'd employ it to good songs.
Like how we're back to this. Okay, let's move on again. All right, Alex. Your game. Have you been having fun building it? And
yes, it's actually been a lot of fun, if not a little bit stressful. I'm hoping to actually have like the actual version released Q2 2018. That means sometime in spring of 2018. And yeah, I'm hoping to put out then have three levels done for it. I'm going to keep adding content to it later. I'm afraid of people asking me what platform's going to put it on. So I'm going to say it's going to be on Steam, itch. It's going to be on PC, Mac, and Linux. I have all three of those, so I should be able to test it on those. And I'm planning on having an Android version, and I would like to do a concurrent iOS release. There are other platforms I would definitely like to be on, but I don't know if I can get a dev kit for them. So we'll see about that. If there's other platforms, I'll announce it, or if that changes, I'll certainly put it on the website. If you want to keep track of how the development's going, you can go to robovdino.com, robovdino.com, or you can go, or you can follow me on Twitter at robovdino. And yeah, I'll post like any updates or announcements or anything like that up there. I'll make plenty of noise when there's news.
There'll be links in the show notes.
Oh, you can also just follow me on follow RoboVDino on Twitter, and to see like weird robot and dinosaur stuff I find on the internet. That's pretty good too.
Alex, I hope this really takes off and becomes a huge sensation, and then Hideo Kojima catches wind of it, and he's like, "I must make a video game adaptation of this," and it becomes this huge CG fest with an involved story of the inner sign between robots and dinosaurs. With
Is that maybe the plot of Snatcher? I never played Snatcher, but I'm guessing that's what it's about.
I've never heard of Snatcher.
Oh, seriously? Oh, it's his ripoff of this could actually be a really good segue if you let it be. It's actually his ripoff of Blade Runner. It's a point and click adventure game that was like just Hideo Kojima as all get out. It had like all the same plot elements and stuff, but it definitely feels like a Hideo Kojima product. I'm not even 100% sure where you can play it on for a reasonable price, because it's one of those retro games that everybody and their dog wants. The Saturn version's like $200 or something. I think there might be a PlayStation version that's ridiculously expensive. There might be a PC version, but I'm not 100% certain about that. I know most people usually just play as an emulator just because it's so hard to get a hold of. But yeah, Snatcher is basically just like a point-click adventure game that is a ripoff of Blade Runner.
Ah, no, there's an actual Blade Runner game adaptation of Blade Runner.
Oh, for the NES, I think I saw that. It doesn't look too good.
No, it's for the PC. It's made in the 90s.
Oh, okay. There's like a terrible Blade Runner NES game that I want to say LJN made, but I'm not 100% certain about that.
Yeah, I've never heard of the NES version, but the PC version is actually really enjoyable. It's a point-and-click adventure game where you play a detective that's not Deckard, but is basically Deckard. And
for license.
Well, they had the license, but they didn't want to take the character, and I guess they probably had asked Harrison Ford if he wanted to do it, and he was like, "I don't want to do your video game." Because he's Harrison Ford, and so they just did their own thing. But yeah, it's a guy who is otherwise known as someone not Deckard, but is Deckard. And yeah, he goes through. You get to have the Blade Runner experience where you're talking to androids or hunting them down, and you get to harass people in your hunt for androids, and it's really fun.
This seems like a point-click adventure game. Seems like a better way to do noir. Because the game I was thinking of, actually, it didn't come out on the NES, so it wasn't even close. It came out on the C64 and the ZX Spectrum, and also the Amstrad, which I don't know if that even came out in the US. And yeah, it's just like a shooting game, which doesn't seem really fit with like noir.
You shoot the same four androids over and over again.
I got you.
It'd also be nice to have like a Naughty Dog adventure game taking place in the Blade Runner universe. I think of that because I just recently heard news of they're doing a Naughty Dog type of game in the Star Wars universe, and the studio was closed down. It was actually being developed by Amy Hennigan, I think her name is. She did the Uncharted games.
Oh, that was a, I guess that's a kind of big news item. Visceral Games was bought up by EA, I think like maybe a year or two ago, and they also did Dead Space. And yeah, the lady you're speaking of, I think she just got a job with Visceral, and they're working on like a new Star Wars game. And then EA was like, we're done with you. Everyone's fired or maybe working for EA now.
Yeah, they keep talking about, it's because the loot box or loot crate. Is it when you're just
the loot box is in game?
Oh,
yeah. It's predicated on microtransactions.
Yeah.
Yeah, I guess that's becoming the more lucrative, reliable investment. And the expensive single-player campaigns like Uncharted and Left 4 Dead. What is the Naughty Dog game that came out?
Last of Us.
Yeah. Those are too risky an investment.
Yeah, see? No wonder why I don't play video games anymore. If they shut down single-player games, they really are dead to me. Cause
it's
online...
EA.
It's kind of dumb to like hang their hat on that logic anyway. Because like, I mean, if you actually, they go through the cycle about every like 8 years or so. Because if they're like in the early 90s or so, or late 90s or so, they're like, oh man, the Quake 2 was like had this expansive multiplayer campaign. But all these other games, like the games people are playing, we had the multiplayer experience. So they came out with like Quake 3. And then at the same time, Half-Life came out. So then like these huge like narratives started coming back to FPSs again. And like they became the single player experiences. And then the like Counter-Strike came out. Everyone's like, oh, no, we got to make like Call of Duty and stuff like that. They have like a little tiny single player campaign, if any at all. And then Doom and Wolfenstein have come back. And now they're like, well, no, maybe we need to go back to that again. I don't get why big studios do it, like just go in cycles like that. Maybe it's just like they're looking too closely at market data, like a few big successes or what they're basing everything on. But it's so frustrating that happens about every 8 years.
Well, it's the consideration that they have to contend with now is that they want it to continue just being a cycle matter rather than an actual terminal point is the expense of these games, how much it costs to develop it, which is much more than it was in the 90s. It's considerably
more. Well, there's still that, but they are still also microtransactioning people out of stuff and going, oh, here's a $60 game. And that includes nothing else.
I know, yeah, $50 of add-ons.
What happens when, after people get tired of just getting screwed over for money to buy content for the game that isn't cosmetic or is like required to like actually enjoy the game? Like, how long are people gonna just keep doing that? Like, I mean, they went through the same thing in like the Facebook game marketplace that completely crashed because it required you pay money to like actually play the games
or to actually have legitimate competition. If you were trying to be like, oh, I'm the top of my groups, but somebody's paying money or something like that. Battlefront, they ran into that because they released a game that was okay, and then they made you pay for all the expansions, which actually made it a legit game.
Right. Well, it is something to consider when a game nowadays, especially a AAA game, it's not considered successful unless it sells 4 million copies. Like,
yeah,
when that's the requirement, then
yeah,
especially
that's
in
just
a
nuts.
Saturated...
That's like the goal every time.
Yeah, and that's just to start making a profit.
But it also depends on how much you want. And I'll admit, you know, I don't mind playing, you know, because like single player games, you have to like start doing that, you know, your AAA rating. You get like 10 to 20 hours of gameplay in this. That's why I like my Elder Scroll games. How much time or my Fallout games? How much time am I going to get into this? More than I am actually going to put into it. But I still have Oblivion. Mm-hmm. It's reverse compatible. I can throw it in. I have all the Fallout games. I have so much, you know. I have, you know, yeah, Skyrim. I play these games. I have no problem about the money I paid for these games, and I don't really have any problems paying for the add-ons for a lot of these too, because it adds to the hours upon hours, especially where the add-ons aren't ridiculously expensive.
Right. Well, an argument I read was arguing that this is true with some games, but you basically have to be the best of the offerings to. Well, this was so somewhat different because it is talking about games that don't have that don't monetize the add-ons, and so it's like The Witcher 3. Mm-hmm. The it adds substantial content, and some of the DLCs, like the actual extended campaigns, that they cost money, but it's actually minimal compared to most of the other games out there, and a lot of the cosmetic changes are totally free. And so for that to actually work, it has to be, at least according to the article, it has to be one of the great games in that genre. And The Witcher 3 certainly qualifies.
I would say more, it has to have the good advertisement or the good name behind it. The same problem that you run into with movies. People also will pay for insert movie game, you already know its name, part two. You'll buy that. Everyone's going to buy that because they like part one. Mm. Or part one succeeded. You're going to throw money at part two. Or you're going to throw money at its super expansion that's cost exactly the same. Or, wow, insert the next add-on that's an entire game on its own. But you need to have the first one. People will invest in what they know. It's just like with the movies. People keep going, bring original content. No, if that was true, you'd throw your money at. There's plenty of original content that is better than the sequels or the remakes that nobody watches.
Yeah, I think that popular attitudes, this is true, but I don't know. I wonder if you guys might disagree on this. I feel like there's a separation between continuation of games and continuations of movies, because with movies, it's solely about narrative quality. With games, it's about an extension of gameplay
experience. Yeah, how fun it is. Yeah.
I can sort of understand that. Like, I mean, I've decided that, like, my answer to are games art or are they not art debate falls into games are engineering experiences, because like an experience is an interactive thing usually. So like what I measured, like, is it worth paying money for? Is it, are you paying for more experience, or is it just to prevent the experience that you've got from going away? Which is like why I would decide if like something's kind of like a predatory pricing model versus one that's not. Like cosmetic updates is like, oh, it enhances the experience, but doesn't take anything away if I don't have this thing. So I'm okay paying for that. But for like when they're trying to like bring back like a video game that's kind of just a rehash of something that exists before, like maybe the Call of Duty series with like a few enhancements. If you're paying $50 to like to join in on that experience again, I don't see it as that bad, because it's like making the experience fresh, because I won't go back and play the old one necessarily.
And I'll provide a case study or an example of that. Like, I hadn't considered going into the Yakuza game series until they introduced it to PlayStation 4 with Yakuza 0, and then they remade Yakuza 1 with updated graphics and everything like that. And so it presents an opportunity, and I'm really excited that they're remaking this series, because
I'm debating getting a PS4 to play Yakuza 0. It looks really fun. It looks like Shenmue today, but if it were made today.
And so this is another differentiation between games and movies, because I generally get upset when they're remaking old great games, and great movies. Like, if someone was saying, hey, they're remaking The Godfather, I'd say, shame on them.
Well,
shame on them.
I still think some of these also, because I can't even think of, what's the H.G. Wells one?
War of the Worlds.
Time Machine?
I wasn't thinking of that. Well,
Invisible Man.
The World Set Free.
I was thinking of the one where, Rosebud. I was thinking of Rosebud. Yeah. With Rosebud.
Citizen Kane.
H.G. Wells.
That's awesome.
Orson Welles.
Yeah, I want to call him Oscar Wilde. I don't know why.
So, have you seen that movie?
Yeah.
Would you recommend it? Is it one of the movie classics of all time?
I would say I'll recognize its influence, but
it has cultural value for sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Should it be remade to reintroduce the cultural value into a modern time.
You can't reintroduce the cultural value. It was a time and place and particular talent which gave it value.
Modernizing it for modern time and culture.
Doesn't matter
to
me.
To be. Yeah.
I don't know if they could, because I don't know who they'd even like make it about, because that's about a newspaper tycoon.
Yeah,
I mean, would they have like Andrew Breitbart? Like, I don't know, like who like the modern equivalent would be. I guess they could do something that's. I really don't know, because like that was such a period piece. Like, unless they just identically remade the movie, I don't know how they'd remake that, because person wouldn't do well today.
It'd probably be about Jeff Bezos at this point.
It'd be Jeff Bezos.
Oh, there's that, or there's even how the Circle kind of did it, where they kind of had this idea of how some of the these tech companies are doing. Maybe
didn't watch the Circle.
Yeah, it's all right. Don't worry. Read the book. Ignore the movie. You'll just be mad. It'll be what you were talking about. Movies that are just terrible. Don't watch the Circle.
Like, okay.
Period. Done. If you really are interested, go read the book. Go get the Audible. Go whatever. But I also like Planet of the Apes. They modernized it for the time period.
Well, they expanded the story, though. That's what I like about it. That's what Blade Runner did. They didn't
Planet of the Apes is
it.
Okay. Blade Runner is a sequel. Planet of the Apes is a remake.
It's not a remake.
Yes, it
really
is. That is an absolute hands down remake.
They're all the prequel series.
No, all of that prior stuff is a totally different story.
Now that you consider the first Planet of the Apes, connected to that, like perhaps preceding movies. Nothing about the original trilogy conflicts with the
trilogy,
or I mean the the prequel trilogy, the one with James Franco, etc. At all, like nothing about that conflicts with the Charlton Heston initial Planet of the Apes.
Okay, that one, yes, but they have expanded upon that one, so now the new round is its own series. It's its own reboot. They have officially stepped it off because Caesar. I disagree. That one does go against the story.
How does it? Oh, well, yeah.
Because he is a
nuke.
Genetic alteration, not a child of a smart ape.
He's a genetic. They don't talk about Caesar in the original Planet of the Apes. There's no talk of Caesar.
Caesar's his friend. That's the monkey he's working with. Caesar's the one who spreads the serum to the rest of them.
I'm pretty sure that, Charlton Heston.
Not Charlton Heston. Which Caesar are you going to talk about?
Okay, so I'm missing the point where you're saying that the original trilogy with Caesar and everything like that.
What's original?
The prequel trilogy. Yeah.
Wait, what? Okay.
Prequel.
Which actor are you talking about? Because you're using terms that I don't agree with.
Okay, so
you have Andy Serkis's movies.
Okay, Andy Serkis. I'll go with that.
Yeah,
he is Caesar.
Yeah.
He is Caesar in all of them, mm-hmm. And his Caesar's origin story in the current renditions, not the Marky Mark one, but the one since Marky Marks, and the Funky Bunch, is Caesar. He has a serum that makes him smart, which causes a plague.
Right.
In the Charlton Heston ones, Caesar is a baby of future apes, which ends up making smart apes throughout history.
Well, don't they have the descendants of Caesar, though, because they name them Caesar, but it's not the same Caesar.
In the new ones or in the old ones?
No, because in the Charlton Heston ones, that's what even in the prequel ones is that they show the apes are just breeding, so they don't have any serum.
What prequel ones?
The circus ones.
Yeah,
okay, don't call those prequels.
They are prequels.
They are prequels. There's no other ape movies that take place in that time frame.
They are not the same time. They are a remake.
No, we're saying that regardless of what everyone says or anyone else says, it's easy to create a continuum where it starts with the James Franco.
Yeah, and
Andy
then you
Serkis
watch Charlton Heston's
yeah,
one.
Yeah, that is a completely non-conflicting continuum.
Yeah, because the end of War for the Planet of the Apes establishes how those little camps of apes get settled, because it was like the last of mankind. And
but
everything.
It's how the apes got started that's different in both of those sets of movies.
There's nothing about how they start in the circus movies.
Yes, there is.
That conflicts with Planet of the Apes one.
Yes, there is.
Because you can say that Caesar created like his prodigy or his progeny.
No, Caesar is the in the new ones. Caesar is the first mm-hmm. of the smart apes.
Yeah.
Period.
Right.
In yeah. the old ones, Caesar is a child of smart apes.
No, but okay. if you're, but what they're saying is the character, like he is a descendant of Caesar, though, in the Charlton
yeah,
Heston.
Yeah, so
no,
so
that's you
not.
Can, what do
so
you mean that, he's a
because
descendant of
Caesar? It's not the same Caesar. That's what you're thinking. Is like the Caesar who's in the Andy Serkis ones is not the same Caesar that's in the Charlton.
Yeah,
Heston
okay,
ones.
But multiple that Caesar character. Is still a descendant of smart apes.
Yeah, well, that's,
not. Apes,
I know.
Not smart. Not smart apes that were genetically altered, but smart apes that came from the future.
Smart apes. There's nothing in the Charlton Heston
yeah,
original.
Yeah, they do.
That...
They come back from the future to the past. They have a child.
This is not discussed.
And they killed. That... They killed the child.
There's
not
the
Charlton Heston.
That's not in the original.
That is in the third movie.
But this is what we're saying. That if you forget the
if you forget movies, everything past Charlton Heston.
Yeah.
So you can only acknowledge the first one.
Yeah,
exists.
That's what we're talking yeah. about. So all okay. the following ones are redacted. You just have a single continuum.
So you're saying it's a sequel from Charlton Heston's, which is a reboot. And
all the
rest.
Sequels of the Planet Apes couldn't even be consistent with each other. They're all just
what do you
silly
mean?
Stuff.
How could they not?
Because that's what we're saying. There is that. Yeah, the only ones that I consider with the apes is you have the three. Andy Serkis ones, and then the original ones. Those are like the classic apes.
Which original
movies.
Ones?
The just the original one. The
just
Charlton
the very
Heston.
First one.
Yeah,
very first
just
one.
The those are the good
one.
Ape movies.
Ah. Oh come on! The third one is about, or no, actually the fourth one's about racism and all that. The second
the
one
first
is about,
one's about racism.
Okay, the first yeah. one's a, okay. First one, fourth one's about racism. Yeah, first one, fourth one's about racism. Fourth one's about slavery. Second one is about...
One's about slavery.
Okay, so first one's yeah. about slavery too. You're right. The second one is about the nuclear fallout and the cold...
The first one's about the nuclear
no,
fallout.
No, the first one is not about nuclear
that's
fallout.
That's the iconic ending. It's like...
No, we destroy
madman.
Ourselves. Yes, we destroy ourselves. But it's them worshipping a nuke, which ends up actually destroying the world.
That's unnecessary.
They actually destroy the world because of a nuke in the second one.
It doesn't matter because the point was already established yeah. in the first one. Like they're the unnecessary. They did. I would say that the Serkis trilogy added way more. And so.
I say that the Serkis one is they're working their way up to Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, they are not going to. They are not going to redo off of that. They are going to remake an entire new
That's
Planet
possible,
of the Apes.
But regardless of, and if it actually does work.
And was they acknowledge it because they sent a monkey already into the future that disappeared.
I don't know if
I hope
happened,
they don't do
that. No, they already did that. It was in the first movie. In the new ones.
In the new
they
ones?
They lost a monkey already.
Okay.
They sent a monkey in the past or in the future.
They sent a monkey and it disappeared. They lost it.
In the James Franco one?
Yes.
No, they did.
Yes, they did.
No, they
did. Yes, they did.
Well, okay, what part?
I just watched those movies, Bill.
We're
going to
go rewatch
happen.
All those movies
in,
now.
In which one of them are you saying that they sent a movie...
A movie into the monkey.
Or,
I think you're thinking of the crappy Tim Burton one.
No, in the first version of all three reboots, or all three versions of the movie, talking about the original, the Marky Mark, and the current round, all three of those send a monkey off.
Okay, but which one in the current round, which of the three did they send a monkey?
The first one.
They sent a monkey through time.
They sent a monkey out and they lost him, and they didn't acknowledge it. But they said they will.
They sent a monkey off, and so we're to
no,
guess
they,
that
it
this
is
was
going,
a time travel.
It is a time traveling monkey.
I don't
didn't
have to
happen.
Acknowledge that.
Like, it's a time traveling monkey.
No, I just watched it. What happened was it introduces Caesar. Caesar attacks a neighbor. He gets sent to the. Shelter, they manage to escape and steal some of the medicine. He frees everyone out of there. Then they break into the lab, free the rest of the monkeys, have a fight in the Golden Gate Bridge, and go to the forest. That's all that happens in that movie.
Yeah.
There's
and,
no time traveling monkey.
Off-screen,
there's a time traveling
James Franco dies.
There's a time traveling space monkey.
Yeah. And then at the end, it shows the guy who is sick that's a pilot that's traveling around the world spreading the disease. And that's the end credits.
Yeah. And so, and then Tio is Caesar having to deal with. Fractionism in his own party and also mediating between humans. And the third one is humans versus apes, humans self-destruct apes prevail. And so it leaves the tantalizing conclusion where the last desperate act of humans is to nuke each other.
Yeah.
You ready? And the fourth one, the monkey's going to show up from the first movie.
No.
Yeah, you're seeing the Tim Burton one because I read the time travel. I was reading the Wikipedia summary and then my eyes started to bleed, so I had to give up.
The Tim Burton one was good.
No.
Until the last 10 minutes. I enjoyed that movie until the last 10 minutes.
I was in pain until the last 10 minutes. And
Marky
then
Mark's acting is not terrible, only in Transformers movies.
I would say as good in The Departed.
It was great in The Departed. The Departed is a really good movie, and I hate gangster movies. Godfather's a terrible movie.
Did you watch it?
I couldn't make it. Yeah, I tried. I tried.
It's the great moral descent because Michael Corleone, he always has it in him to be the corrupt nadir of his family, like that mobster character, but he kind of hides it and he's the war hero, and then it's his moral descent.
Everyone has their thing. That's mine.
It's Breaking
Most
Bad
mob movies
in 3
are
hours.
Bad in my opinion.
It's a great movie.
My thing.
Martin Scorsese's gonna have someone whack you, Bill.
I'm gonna ignore it and it's not gonna happen.
You mean Francis Ford Coppola?
Yeah.
I don't think he can afford to whack anyone at this point. Like, I think his only income is from vineyards.
All right. Well, let's talk about, since we're talking about movies, let's talk about this card that's having such a hard time getting off the ground that succeeded ridiculously and all that. Movie Pass.
Yeah, I finally got it. I used it for one movie. That was Blade Runner. And the guy at the theater was complaining about the card right before I used it, so it made it that much sweeter.
So it's still safe to use at AMC.
Yep. He's like, unless we get rid of MasterCard, we're never getting rid of it. I was like, nope. Damn straight. And then I held it up. I was like, one for Blade Runner, please. And he's like, ugh. I said, don't forget to add points, too, to my card.
Yeah, exactly.
I can't wait to break my...
Because they're making money. Full money.
Yeah.
To lose my movie card virginity on Blade Runner. Yep. Won't be my first time with Blade Runner. It'll be movie card's first time.
So this is the other thing. If you haven't got your movie pass card, they have like added just billions and billions. They've multiplied their employee base a lot to try to push these things out faster. So they are still coming out. How late did you guys sign up after I did?
I signed up in middle of August and got it like October. Blade Runner came out,
so it's
like
about
a
2 months
before that,
so,
or something.
So,
yeah.
We ran into a hiccup with one of our, we thought we signed up under one email, so we thought we mistyped it, and then we send in a ticket. Their phone number doesn't work, period. They're like, it goes straight to voicemail. Mm-hmm. They're like, do a ticket or use the app and get a hold of us. The ticket system took like a month and a half for them to even respond once. And once they responded, it still took like another week for them to like start having actual conversations. Found out we signed up under a different email address. We didn't mistype it. 7 o'clock in the morning trying to quickly sign up when it first came out. And I was using the app. I have literally entire conversations. Actually, if you on our Twitter page, I posted them because I was like, dude, seriously, Twitter, come on. You're help support. Come get me. I'm just like, I'm talking to myself. I'm literally just hi. Weeks have passed. I have no response. I'm like, well, we've got resolved. I'm just, yeah. But they're definitely backed up with support and getting these things out.
No, mine worked okay. It was no issues. So
it works.
Happy.
Yeah, it works at the Big D Theater. It does not work in IMAX officially.
Yeah.
So the IMAX-like theaters, it sounds like it works at.
The yeah, I was
3D
really
theaters,
surprised for that.
It doesn't work at. But
that's okay.
I'm pretty excited. And this is the one case where I'm not upset that they'll sell my information. In fact, I'm kind of excited about it. I want people to look at my movie history and say, this man has impeccable taste.
Except for that one.
Yeah,
Blade
except
Runner.
For that. Yeah.
No, it's my big... The Blade Runner is interesting because it gets a tisk-tisk on both sides of the aisle, because tisk-tisk on the studio for giving it a Force Awakens budget and thinking they'll ever make that money back off of like a cult movie. But the tisk-tisk on the audience is that it should have made Force Awakens money because people should have watched that movie and said, hey, you should go watch this movie. And people who've already seen it said, hey, I want to go watch this, like they do with Star Wars movies.
It's really difficult to get people to watch this. I don't proselytize movies. The last movie that I proselytized was Kubo last year. Saying, people, watch this movie. It's getting crushed, and it shouldn't because it's a great movie. And I did the same with Blade Runner, and people heeded both equally and that they heeded neither.
Interesting.
When they hear me excitedly saying, it is a very intelligent, beautiful movie, then they're like, that sounds boring.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's depressing.
I know. We got to watch the original one in theaters, too, and that was really fun as well.
The other thing that is interesting, though, like where Star Wars tickets are in sale, this is you cannot prep your ticket super far in advance. Like you cannot get your Star Wars ticket available right now through MoviePass. If you want to, be in that line, you have to pay for that ticket.
Mm-hmm.
But the day of the event or the week of the event, you can probably go get.
I boycott Star Wars movies on opening weekend because I just can't deal with that mess.
So much fun.
It's not worth it.
It makes one bitter because I do like the new Star Wars reboot. I hate the idea of Han Solo passionately. I hate it even more now that they've officially released the title.
It's Solo. I hope Harrison Ford. I was approached by Ron Howard and he's like, we'll make you look creepily young and you can be in the movie. He's like, okay.
They should have called it, get this, a hand job.
Oh.
A Han job?
Yeah, a Han job. Wow.
Okay, so you were talking about MoviePass and their stuff earlier.
Yeah.
So what were you explaining?
Did you pull up an article?
I did pull up stuff.
To that effect? Well, then you should explain it because I just vaguely remember.
You vaguely remember. Okay, so the company, Helios and Matheson Analytics, is the main stockholders for MoviePass, Netflix, all this other stuff. Their stock initially dropped, 10% or 15%? No, it ended up dropping overall 25%.
Okay.
Is that the right one? No. I think it was. It initially ended up dropping 25%. No, that's not right. Now I've lost the information. Oh, there we go. Hey! It initially dropped 13%, down to $18.23, which means it was at $20.50. So this 13% is not as large of a, yes, it's a large percentage, but it's not a large amount. It went down, it ended up dropping another 10% to $16.34, but it has recovered up to 17 when they released their numbers about how well this is doing. Because they're not just making money off of selling your analytics, they're also making money because on the average, ticket prices are $8 and some odd cents. MoviePass is $9.99 a month, which means if the average person buys one ticket, they make money.
I read that's what the founder was banking on, that there'd be a sharp increase in sales or losses for the short term, and then eventually it'd pan off to a movie a month for the average customer. Yeah. I'm skeptical about that, but I guess we'll see how that bears out. And so I definitely don't plan on being the average customer.
I know some people who don't. I know plenty of people who do. And especially at this place where it works with the Big D and it works at our ticket prices.
I'm going to knock out three movies this week.
Yeah. Well, I mean, our tickets are over $10 a month as it is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Or $10 a movie as it is. Right there. In places like this where we are expensive, places who are there at all. But this also includes the real theater, the $2 theaters too. So yeah, they're probably putting those into it. So people who going to those, wanting to watch those older movies, yeah, they have to watch it a few more times. But if you're going to the new movies and your movies cost more than $10 once a month, you've paid for your thing.
Alex, how much do theaters generally cost over in Vancouver?
I try not to look at the ticket. I could look it up for you. I feel like it's like $18 a head for the for the because we usually go for the assigned seating because you get these monster cushy chairs. There's ottomans and there's no screaming kids. It's guaranteed. So yeah.
Do you have competition though? There, or do you just have like one?
Oh, there's a couple. There's a AMC, and there's also this other one called Cinetopia. I don't know if they're owned by like a bigger chain or if like that is the chain. But yeah, there's a couple. Like it's AMC, and then a couple others.
You guys have AMC too?
Yeah. Plus we have like a ton of independent theaters. Like they're independent theaters just all over the place. So like you aren't like forced to go see like movies from just one giant conglomerate.
Yeah,
you get to watch your artsy foreign movies.
I was gonna say,
actually, yeah, they're not all good, but yeah, we've actually got a theater that specializes in just pulling in like foreign films. I saw the last thing that we went to go see is it's called The Kiggins, if you're interested. The last thing we went to go see was Eddie Izzard's weird World War II movie, and you'd think like Eddie Izzard World War II, it's gonna be kind of funny and great. It was just like boring and lame. It's more or less about like a bunch of like alcoholic Scotsmen, just like menacing Eddie Izzard in like not funny, kind of sad ways.
I wonder if that is based on true life.
Oh yeah, it is. It's actually based off of. It's called a whiskey something or other. Let's see if we can find it. Whiskey Eddie Izzard. I'll put it in the show notes. My recommendation would be to not watch Whiskey Galore. Alex, that's the name of it.
We should challenge you to watch A Ghost Story and see if you can sit through it, because that's also pretentious garbage.
The sad thing about this, it wasn't pretentious garbage. Like, it's a movie that if it was made in the 90s and had like Rob Schneider or something in it, it would probably have been okay. Or like Adam Sandler, it would have been like probably pretty funny and great. But no,
let me ask you this question, Alex, and be honest. Have you ever wanted to watch a woman just sit down and eat a pie for 4 minutes straight while crying?
It was longer than that, I swear.
Well, that's what it's like every time I make a pie for Jamie.
Well, okay. Well, you can all the tears. See someone who got paid.
I can bring my baking skills to the cinema and relive it there.
Yeah, and then you can see the director proudly bragged that he did that shot on one take. It was impressive.
I don't know if that's like you should brag about your director.
Vegan chocolate pie.
it's not like he's like a brain surgeon or something. Like, it's okay if a director gets a couple of redos.
I know.
Have you ever wanted to
just do a second one, see if something changes?
Yeah.
Alex, is it your heart's desire to see an Academy Award winning actor, Casey Affleck, exercise his acting prowess under a blanket?
He just stands there and doesn't move.
Yeah, he's just
a ghost.
They could have paid for a mannequin, and it would have had the same effect. Yeah, he's a dead guy who's just in a sheet, and then he just stands there, so you don't even need an actor.
Okay, how about this? Let's talk about a good movie then.
Okay.
So not Ghost Story.
Yeah.
No, Star Wars Episode One.
Star Wars Episode One.
Greatest movie ever made.
That's right.
No, Leprechaun 2.
That's a good one.
Cult classic.
Troll 2? You guys ever watched Troll 2?
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
No, yeah. I haven't seen that.
It's actually worth a watch. It's, I mean, it's bad. It's not the worst thing ever. It's got zero cultural value, but it's got entertainment value. It's definitely worth watching.
See, The Circle, that's the worst ever.
Yeah. Tom Hanks. I've been watching a lot.
No, it has a lot of good actors in it, and I don't know why they stayed in that movie.
For some reason, I've been watching a lot of Tom Hanks movies, and I don't know why.
Don't watch The Circle. Just stick with that.
Avoid The Circle.
Avoid The Circle.
I wish I had avoided some. I watched Sleepless in Seattle in a fit of insanity, and I regretted it.
That's better than The Circle.
Is it?
Yeah.
No. I think that Nora Ephron, who directed Sleepless in Seattle and wrote When Harry Met Sally, I found that all of her movies seem to have a common theme where there's a woman who's married to a super nice guy and then falls in love with someone else, and the nice guy just goes, I'm okay with that. It seems to happen in every single one of her movies. I don't know why.
All right. We're going to move on to spoilers, though.
Okay.
Spoilers for Blade Runner.
Yes. So
not Sleepless
in
Seattle.
If you don't want spoilers.
Well, do you guys want spoilers? You shouldn't get spoiled.
Yeah.
That's part of the fun.
Well, but
there's
a lot
of cool twists to it.
If you don't want spoilers, then leave away. Turn off. Come back. If you're ready for spoilers or you already watched it
but
and want to hear people's opinions.
Yeah, you guys haven't seen it.
Tune in. What do you mean I haven't? Oh, he hasn't seen it? I thought you saw it.
I saw it. No. You haven't seen it.
Yeah, you guys. No.
Oh, who's you? I'm like, who's you guys?
It's my favorite movie. Yeah, I don't care about the listeners.
Oh.
They can turn off.
Yeah, sorry.
Those who
you
do not
guys.
Call.
Yeah, maybe if they called once in a while.
So you want to wait another week?
Yeah, if you guys will actually watch it.
Okay. Are we allowed to insult our listeners if they don't watch Blade Runner? Can we say
they may have already watched Blade Runner?
Say get a movie pass and go watch Blade Runner, and then you can go watch all the other cheesy bad movies to your heart's content.
And
as well.
There's a link to sign up for Movie Pass in the show notes.
I wish we were sponsored by Movie Pass because that would be the guilt-free sponsorship. I was just gonna, Movie Pass.
Like, Movie Pass.
Yeah, then
we
I wouldn't judge
you.
Them because I'd be like, you can go watch Geostorm and whatever other bad movies and Jigsaw, which is AKA Saw 12, whatever. So you can go watch those as long as you watch Blade Runner.
I'm still running behind on my movies because my Movie Pass was having issues.
Yeah.
It. I need to see it.
Yeah, that's
yeah,
it. But that's watch Blade Runner first because that's a better movie.
I only get one scary movie a year. Why can't it be it?
Well,
Blade Runner's not
it.
Scary. It's you sci-fi.
That's what I'm saying. I only get one. I need to get it's in theaters.
Okay. But
wait,
watch
so which
Blade
one do you think
Runner
is going to be coming out of theaters first? Blade Runner or it?
Probably Blade Runner, because the world is a cruel mistress.
Okay, fine. We'll spoil it next week.
Yeah.
Alex, you going to watch it then?
Probably not. I may or may not watch
okay,
it. I still watched the original. I know if nerd cred, it's out the window. But yeah, I was going to watch the original and then go watch the new one. It's one of those movies like the plot's been spoiled for me so many times, I kind of don't care. Like it's kind of like the deal of like why Citizen Kane was like enjoyable to watch, but it's like it didn't feel that powerful. Because, like, everything had been spoiled for me. It's like if I went to go watch, like, Casablanca or something, like, there would be just nothing there for me. It's like, oh, yeah, I know about that.
Only thing
I know about that, too.
I think 2049 is a better movie, because Blade Runner, I still don't love the original. It had to grow on me, so I won't pretend like I was a guy that watched it and was like, masterpiece. But 2049, yeah, first time through. I saw this too. I wasn't alone in this. I read an article. It's called The P-Test, because me and this other Alex that went with us to see it too, this movie's almost 3 hours long, and I had to pee like 45 minutes into it. But I refused to like miss a single scene. You'd think like the 3-hour movie, I can go like take a dump and not miss anything in some of them. But this one, I was like, I can't miss like a single second. And I sat through the whole movie, and that was true. There wasn't like a single part that I reflected back on that I was like, yeah, that would have been a good time to pee.
I have to admit, when I gotta go, I'm just check out. I don't care. Hey, look, action scene. Great. I gotta go.
But that movie, this is like only 15 more minutes longer than like a stupid Marvel movie. So like all movies are like 2.5 hours long. So when everyone's like, oh, 3 hours, I'm like, you've probably watched all these movies all summer that are this long.
Is it actually 3 hours?
It's
no,
like
it's
2 hours
and
40
yeah.
minutes
it's
or something.
It's 161 minutes for Blade Runner, but it's 11 minutes of credit.
Yeah.
So I can leave.
Yeah, so you
because
can
there's
leave.
Nothing
so
after.
Not too bad.
And there's not going to be no more add-ons or changes or anything.
No gimmicks.
Yeah. It is an excellent movie. I sat through it the first time and I was like, that is a sci-fi masterpiece.
You know, I feel bad that we're not spoiling it for the listeners who left.
I feel confident, and I said this last podcast, I'll say it again. It's the best movie of the year. And that's pretty impressive because Dunkirk was amazing. Mm-hmm. It was one of the better Nolan movies. And Nolan is one of the great directors.
I don't know. I might watch Dunkirk one day. I like Nolan, but...
Yeah, I love that movie.
I'm not sure. It's not really... Yeah, not my cup of tea.
I feel like this movie hopefully will age better, too, on second viewing like Dunkirk did. Yeah. But
Blade Runner was better than Logan.
So, if I bring somebody along that has not seen the first one, will it be okay?
Yeah, for the most part, there is some references and stuff too. I mean, it'd be smarter to watch the first one.
Yeah, and why would
you
listen
should.
To Impact?
Yeah, that's what I think, because it is a sequel.
And it's been a while since I saw the first one. I know I didn't see the last final cut, but...
You should watch the final cut.
I've seen
that's
it.
That's like the official approved one.
Blade Runner is a really good movie, the original.
No, I liked Blade Runner. It was okay. Yeah. I wouldn't quite call it like amazing movie of all time, but...
Yeah, neither would I, but I'd call this movie an amazing movie.
I am actually in love with Ryan Gosling. I hope he's one of our listeners, so I can declare that to him. It's somewhat beyond platonic at this point. At first, I was like, I don't know. I feel comfortably. I thought I was zero on the Kinsey scale, but with each movie I watch with Ryan Gosling, that number incrementally by an integer rises.
Yeah. Bill, I have to leave early. So my famous last words will
be. We're going famous last words. Ready, set, go, Joe.
Oh, ready?
Yes.
Yeah. Get a movie pass and watch Blade Runner and then watch whatever else you want. I won't judge you as long as you watch Blade Runner.
Alex?
I've prepared a statement. Follow RoboVDino on Twitter for silly robot and dinosaur posts, or to follow the progress on my game about silly robots and dinosaurs, or I'll kill you. Not really.
Oh, I'm up. Yeah, play RoboVDino. That's true. But also, seriously, watch Blade Runner 2049. It's good for your soul, and you'll be a better person because of it.
Look what you made me do.
Yeah.